could come on up and share his experience, strength, and hope. So please, without any further ado, come on up. Let's give him a round of applause.
My name is Caleb, and I'm an alcoholic. I have a sobriety date. It's March 5th, 2013. I have a sponsor. His name's Fred C., who you'll be hearing from in a little bit here. And I have a home group, which is the Junkyard Dogs in Santa Barbara. You know, I like to do the long pitches. These short pitches are a little, you know, hard to do. I'd much rather do a 50-minute pitch, but I'll do my best to carry the message to you tonight. You know, I started my drinking in high school. I was a football player. You know, started drinking with my teammates on the weekends. You know, a real social deal. You know, in my senior year in high school, you know, I was a good football player. Made the All-American team and was recruited by a lot of major universities in the country. And I decided to go to the University of California, Berkeley, on a football scholarship. And you know, when I got there, you know, that drinking continued, and it started getting more and more prevalent in my life. Right there in the middle of my time there, you know. Drinking became a necessity. Instead of going to the bars on just Fridays and Saturday nights with my teammates, you know, I started being there on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, because I needed that alcohol in my system. I needed that relief. And, you know, alcohol gave me that relief. In my senior year in college, I had an injury halfway through my season, and I blew out my knee and ended my football career. So my chances of getting to the professional level, which was like my dream for years, was taken away from me. And, you know, that was my whole identity. That's how everybody knew me, as Caleb, the football player, you know, the star football player. And so I really had an identity crisis. You know, I didn't know who I was anymore. And, you know, I got suicidal. And, you know, I didn't get suicidal like I was going to take a gun and put it to my head. But, you know, I made the decision that, you know what, I'm going to drink and use drugs and kill myself that way. You know, however long it takes, I'm doing it. So after that, you know, it's just, you know, whiskey and cocaine. That was my deal for a long time. Whiskey, cocaine. Progressed smoking crack cocaine, and then ended up getting into methamphetamines. And everything came to a peak October 2nd of 2012, when I was arrested for sales and transportation of methamphetamine. And you know, when I was arrested, you know, I always thought I could stop if I needed to stop. You know, I always told people I can stop if I had the right situation, the right relationship, the right job. You know, I can put it down, no problem. But you know, I didn't want to. I wanted to party, so, you know, until I felt like I needed to stop, I wasn't going to stop. Well, even after I got arrested for sales and transportation, you know, I'm going to court, and I can't stop using, drinking, you know, and I'm going to court, and I'm high as hell. You know, I'm tweaked out of my mind in front of the judge. And so finally, I get sentenced, and part of my sentence is doing clean and sober drug court. And, you know, so I got to make a decision. Am I going to get sober and do this thing, or, you know, am I going to, you know, keep using and end up going to prison? You know, but you know, for me, sobriety before that, anytime I got sober, it meant being miserable. And you know, so it's like, what do I want to do? Do I want to go to prison or be miserable? You know, so I decided to try the misery. So my first 2 weeks in this program, I'm sitting in my house by myself, you know, cut off from the world, just isolated and completely dying, miserable, white knuckling it, dying, just wanting to get loaded. You know, and finally after 2 weeks, you know, signing my own court card, I said, something's got to change because this is not working for me. This is not going to happen. This, you know, I don't know what's going to go on, but this is not going to happen anymore. And I decided to go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I went to the Saturday Night Grace Lutheran meeting in Santa Barbara. And, you know, I show up at the meeting, and, you know, people are welcoming me. You know, I see some people that I used to party with that have some sobriety. They're happy to see me there. You know, the next couple of them take me under their wing. We start, you know, the next day we go fishing, and, you know, we're having a good time. And, you know, I start forgetting about, you know, this miserable feeling of being sober. I ended up going to the Junkyard Dogs, and that's where I met Fred C. and asked him to sponsor me. You know, and you know, I was desperate for this program. I needed this change, so I was willing to take direction from this guy. You know, this guy, me and him got nothing in common, you know. He wears pink socks, I wear white socks. You know, this guy's about 5'4", I'm like 6'4". You know, two totally different people, but we have this common disease of alcoholism, and now we have a common solution in AA. So, you know, I started working the steps with this guy, you know, and he's taking me through the steps, you know, and I'm starting to get relief. I'm starting to get this spiritual experience around my fourth and fifth step. And, you know, my life, it starts to change. Things are changing because I'm changing the way I live my life. You know, for me, Alcoholics Anonymous isn't a way to get sober. It's a way to change how you live your life. Live your life in a spiritual way, the right way. And a side effect of doing that is sobriety. And that's the side effect that I want. So, so I go through the steps, and somewhere along the way, you know, I didn't know this until, you know, I decided I was going to clean the trunk of my car out, and I hadn't done it since I got busted, since I got arrested. And I figured, you know, the drug sniffing dogs found everything, but I better make sure because I'm on search and seizure. So I go out. This is about 4 months into sobriety. I go out and clean out the trunk of my car, and at the bottom of the trunk, where my spare tire is, I find a gram of meth. And it just amazed me because I just picked it up, went to the bathroom, flushed it down the toilet. Had no desire whatsoever to use. You know, no desire whatsoever. And that was something like, whoa, it blew me away. Wow, you know, this is something I don't want anymore. You know, normally, you know, if I'm on a little sobriety, you know, time, and I'm not, you know, haven't worked the steps like I did this time, I'd be like, hey, it's on, you know. Where's the pipe? Let's smoke this shit. But, you know, things had changed, you know. My life had gotten better. Things had progressed to the point where I was happy. And I had this new solution in my life. I had these spiritual tools that I picked up here going through the steps so that when things went bad in my life, when I had resentments, you know, when things weren't going right that day, you know, I had these tools that I can use to deal with that situation instead of just going straight to the booze or straight to the drugs. you know, today my life is a lot different, you know. You know, I'm truly happy. You know, I took my one-year cake at the Junkyard Dogs this past Wednesday. And, you know, I was talking and I told them that, you know, this is the happiest year I've had in my life overall. You know, even with being on probation, going through this Clean and Sober Court program, all this stuff that's going on, you know, this has been truly the happiest year of my life. And, you know, that says a lot. You know, I've done a lot of things in my life. You know, played Division I college football, you know, played these awesome stadiums, had all this fun in college. But you know what? I was never really happy. You know, I always had this hole inside me, and you know, I just really want to stress to the newcomers, if there are any here tonight, you know, don't leave here tonight without getting a sponsor. You know, get someone to take you through the steps. You know, my sponsor took me through the steps the same way his sponsor took him through the steps. You know, and you know, we're all sober. You know, this thing works. You know. I feel like, you know, if I can get sober, anybody can get sober by doing this program. Get a sponsor, get some commitments, be a part of the fellowship. You know, you're gonna find some friendships in here that are gonna be lifelong friendships, genuine friendships, people that care about you and are actually gonna ask you, hey, how you doing? They actually mean, hey, how are you doing today? It's not some fake little thing, you know. So make sure, you know, if you don't have a sponsor, get a sponsor. Put in a little bit of effort. Put, you know, just go through the steps honestly, and I guarantee you, you'll get the results. You'll get the relief, and life's going to change for you, and things are going to be a lot better in your life. That's all I got. Thanks.
Okay, so great job. Let's give another round of applause, please.